We have a counter to the counter to the counter proposal. Baseball players, 89 games, full prorated salary, and expanded playoffs. That's coming from the players, and now it goes right back to the owners. Once more into the breach, Pablo Torre, Kevin Blackstone, Sarah Spain. Pablo, I'll start with you. Could this be the one?
It doesn't feel like it, Tony. I'm wildly pessimistic about all of this. No, I mean, it's been described as a non-starter on the owner's side, and these are owners, keep in mind, that refuse to disclose how much they're actually making. So here we have the Cardinals owner, Bill DeWitt. You have Tom Ricketts, the Cubs owner, still crying poverty, that these teams don't make us all this money. And so if those basics aren't achieved, we're going to be haggling and trying to move closer, but I don't think the fundamentals of the very business are even clear enough to have progress on a negotiation.
And that's prorated salary in full. That's the tipping point here.
It seems to be one of the tipping points. Obviously, the owners want fewer games and they want to pay less money. The players just want to make as much as they can off of those prorated salaries they'd agreed upon before. But again, if you're crying poverty as a billionaire, it seems like that would be the number one thing to address, and they're still refusing to actually come clean about that.
Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in here. The counter to the counter to the counter to the counter. And now, is this the one? Please tell me it is.
No, I agree with Pablo. This feels to me like we're still going back and forth, but the ultimate information we need is the transparency from the owners to say whether we've looked at the books. And after a certain number of games at prorated salaries, the losses and potential long-term effects on the franchises are grievous enough that we feel more confident not playing at all than moving forward with that plan. And if they can produce the numbers and somehow prove to us that not only the PR hit of not playing at all, but the financial hit to them and the franchises of paying the players X amount prorated times a certain number of games is not feasible for them, then maybe we can move forward with these negotiations and feel like we're being honest with each other. But owners going public with, it's not a good investment to own a baseball team and our losses are biblical, is not going to get us any closer to agreeing on whether or not what either side is offering up works for both.
Hearing about no closer, hearing this is a non-starter, how could that phrase even be said? Because we're on the eighth counter proposal. At some point, please, let's just start, right? Kevin Blackstone, could this be the one?
Well, it could only be the one because the time is ticking. It's getting away, and the owners are getting very antsy. They need to make some money. But the other thing that's not been discussed in all of this, and you hear Sean Doolittle bring it up from time to time, is still the concern about health. Have we forgotten that we're still in this coronavirus pandemic? And he's concerned about the impact that it could have on his family. He has a wife who has a condition who could be affected by this. And so this is still a big problem beyond the money that they're trying to decide upon.
Right, right. None of this has addressed the pandemic part of the pandemic. And it feels like that's where we've been with baseball specifically for the last month. Not so much with the NBA, or at least we're trying to devise where the players are going to be sitting on benches and all that sort of. We haven't heard that in the baseball discussion at all. We've only heard prorated salaries. I am intrigued by expanded playoffs. I am intrigued at any league considering to go with something unconventional. You'll talk a little bit later about MLS. I am intrigued at that. Maybe that could whet the appetite for the owners? No? Mm-hmm. No, no one's buying. No one's buying a whetting of the appetite here for baseball.
Oh, no.
This is ridiculous. All right.
Quite dry.
Yes, we'll move on then. Another topic I want to get your opinion on or your view on here. This is Colin Kaepernick, Pro Football Talk, reporting that Kaepernick is more motivated than ever to return to the NFL. There's been a debate over whether he needs to be signed to validate his stance or if that's already clearly been validated. And there's also the wonder how the NFL didn't mention Kaepernick in their statement. That's something Malcolm Jenkins, Carlos Hyde have kind of addressed this past week. Kevin Blackstone, do you have a view on all of it?
Well, I think that one of the reasons we didn't mention Colin Kaepernick in all of this may be because of some language in the agreement that was hammered out. But the other thing about this is that I would just point out to Malcolm Jenkins is the civil rights struggles are never about individuals. They're always about a universal struggle. And while I understand the interest in getting Colin back into the game, and I've been a proponent of that all along, this is a much larger situation, a much larger struggle right now. This is about social justice, not just Colin Kaepernick justice. And I think that at some point, players are going to have to come to an understanding about that.
And when you hear Kaepernick, per this report, say he's more motivated than ever to play, you say what, Kevin?
Well, I think that he's always been motivated to play. We know he's always kept himself in shape. We know that he did not want to be out of this game. And so if this is an opportunity, if the door is a little bit more open than it has been since he stepped away, walked away from his contract and couldn't get a free agent deal, then more power to him. Get through that opening. He certainly deserves an opportunity to be in this league. He should never have been left out of this league. But it is a larger issue than just him right now.
Pablo Torre, how important is it that the NFL address Kaepernick? How important is it that he gets signed?
Well, it's interesting because right now, Colin Kaepernick means more to the NFL than the NFL means to Colin Kaepernick from a strategic who has more leverage kind of perspective, right? Like Colin Kaepernick, I'm sure, wants to play, but the NFL, what it always does is it sticks its finger in the air and wonders which way the money is blowing. And right now, Colin Kaepernick is polling better than he ever has in this decentralized democratic movement that Kevin Blackstone was just alluding to. He is somehow, I think, the most prominent figure of this movement still today. So if you're Colin Kaepernick, you have to ask yourself this too. Yes, I want to play, but what does my presence give the NFL? And is my power in actually being outside and holding the NFL to account? Because the NFL, again, is just going to chase the dollars.
Sarah Spann, can I bring you in here?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you guys are saying in principle, but I disagree with the idea that the individuals that serve as catalysts for the larger movements can sort of be eventually forgotten. It matters whether George Floyd's, the man who actually killed him, is brought to justice. Even if George Floyd is just a symbol for a much larger conversation about race and police brutality. And in the case of the NFL, they never let it be about police brutality until about a week ago. They made it about Colin Kaepernick by banning him, that one man, not even any of the other players who knelt for the exact
right.
same thing. Now, some experienced contractual issues, but he's the only one that is out of a job. So they got to tie up that loose end. And it might not be talking about him. That might not be allowed in the settlement. But he's got to be offered a job or they will never be able to move past this one man, even if they address the bigger issue.
I do believe Eric Reed at the moment is unsigned as well. And I think he was among the leaders in tackles for safety the last time
right.
he played. Last word, Kevin Blackstone.
Well, let's just hope this gets settled, and let's just hope that we do not now lose the focus as to what this struggle that Colin Kaepernick started after the Minnesota Lynx women, by the way, started a month ahead of him, what it's really all about. And I think the world has really found out.
Well, Goodell's statement didn't say Colin Kaepernick, did say Black Lives Matter, did talk about systemic oppression. And in a league where Colin Kaepernick gets signed, should it be next month? It's still a league with 9% black head coaches, 6% black GMs, and 0% black ownership in the league. People are making the decisions. So you want to make a statement? Prove it with how you hire and how you operate. We're going to take a break right here. Coming back in 2 minutes. Buy or sell. Reggie Bush. Now it's so.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour.
The NCAA and their reinstatement of Reggie Bush to USC. No, he doesn't have any eligibility left. But the 10-year ban, what they call the disassociation, which is just very odd. The details of all this, well, they were widely reported. Maybe they're now forgotten. Your view of the severity of it may have evolved over time. The shame of this, the shaming of this. How will history view all of this, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, for me, it's going to look like just more disingenuousness on the part of the NCAA, which is what it looked like a long time ago. I mean, we're talking about a Reggie Bush also who suffered this, Chris Webber for illegal inducements that are a violation of NCAA policy. But look at where we are right now in 2020 and look at where athletes are in college right now who generate revenue for the industrial complex of college athletics. Everything is moving towards them now. And so I look at it much differently. And I'm just surprised that Reggie Bush is so embracing now of USC. On the other hand, Weber being invited back has not been
embracing of Michigan. Sarah Spain, can I bring you in here?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we've evolved. At the time, there were certainly a lot of fingers pointed at Bush because we wanted to blame an individual instead of acknowledging the institutional rot. At this point, instead, we hear about athletes likely engaging in very similar things. We kind of shrug and go, and? Usually it is the highest talent and the highest excitement players that draw the most ire for this. We don't care as much if some mid-roster guy is getting paid. Because, again, we want to be able to feel like we can narrow down whose fault it is. It was never Reggie's. It's always been the entire system's, and at least we're moving towards understanding that.
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, this has always felt like the NCAA's attempt to manipulate history, to memory hole reality, and none of us outside of USC have to go along with it. So for me, it's kind of like a shrug. To Reggie Bush, of course, it is super serious. He feels guilt over the scholarships he cost. But keep in mind, the place where this was recorded, Tony, was in the sports media guide, where there were asterisks. So for me, right. I'm guessing that most people aren't really going to care
True,
about the sports
but also,
media guide being revised.
The Heisman asked for the Heisman back. They threatened him and he had to give it back, right? Isn't that how that played out? I don't think OJ had to give his Heisman back. I think he lost it from other reasons. I mean, that's First the severity time. That was placed on Reggie Bush. We're going to move on. Another topic I want to get your view on. NASCAR, Martinsville tonight. This is what Bubba Wallace's car will look like. Wrapped with Black Lives Matter and that handshake image. How do you think this will play out, Pablo Torre?
It's going to be complicated. NASCAR, to its credit, has already disallowed, quote-unquote, the flag, the Confederate flag, but now they must prohibit it, which reminds me of the distinction we're drawing right now between being not racist and anti-racist, like actually enforce anti-racism here. But we know, look at Darlington, right? The Southern 500. This is going to be tricky. It's going to be complicated. It is heritage to some people, even though it's obviously also hate.
Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I've said it before, I've written it before. There is no corner of American society more than sports that has done so much to normalize the imagery of the Confederacy, right? NASCAR at the top, Southern football schools also at the top. And it's long been time for NASCAR to eradicate this from its displays. And Pablo's absolutely right. They said that they tried to get rid of it years ago. They really didn't do it in a very forceful way. Now they have to be real.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, not long ago, Bubba Wallace said, the only thing I'm focused on is the checkered flag. And now he feels like he's in a position and we're in a society where he can say flat out, no more Confederate flags. Meanwhile, other racers are saying, I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to tell someone not to bring it. So they're doing that non-racist thing Pablo's talking about instead of joining Bubba Wallace with the anti-racism. This is the time that NASCAR has to do this while there are no fans in the stands, while they can take big steps and move
Maybe.
Things along.
As the only black driver on the Cup Series, I mean, that's a position that Wallace is in, and for him to feel like he has the voice to say it now is remarkable. All right, we're taking a break right here. When we come back, the MLS is back tournament. Got a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
No.
Around the Horn is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Part of Happy Hour.
MLS coming back July 8th with a World Cup-like format. Group stages, knockouts. They're calling it the hashtag MLS is back tournament. Kevin, is MLS onto something here? The change you can believe in?
Well, they're not on anything with that title. Come on. What happened? Did the PR people get furloughed? Bring them back, please. But I'm all for the World Cup format. I mean, that makes it different. It's exciting. You know it's a truncated season. So I'm all for that. Bring it on. DC United. Go.
Furloughed maybe, or maybe they're too busy Googling stock images of white and black hands shaking hands for their next statement. Either way, the NWSL is doing something very similar, and they did at least call it the 2020 Challenge Cup. I think they're both on the right track with the format. The name needs a little work.
I agree with you on the handshake, because that was the last story we did, Bubba Wallace, and it didn't come up. It is predatorial, though, right? It's the predator. I mean, that's what we like about it, so I guess it's okay.
Yes.
Kevin, haven't seen you in so long. Please take some time. Tell us what's going on in your life.
Oh, everything's going on in my life. But thank you very much for this time. I just want to point one thing out. Since Michael Jordan took so much heat during that Last Dance opus that we were treated to. Just want to point out that he's part of a team that pulled in a 442-pound marlin. That's incredible. Do you ever watch Deadliest Catch? You know how dangerous it is pulling in a fish that big? Everybody on that boat's got to be included in it. I'm sure he was, too. That's one big fish that he got, unlike, let's say, Kwame Brown.
Ooh. Oh, yoinks.
Oh, Blackestone. Why did you end with a low blow like
too
that
soon?
Against Kwame Brown?
Wow.
Did you notice the name of his boat?
Catch 23?
I did not.
Catch 23. My dad.
Andy Elfman.
That joke.
It's all about
hey, Pablo Torre, where you been? Were you feeding the plants behind you? I had no idea. Where'd you go? I thought you were here, and then you're not here. All right, guys, we're on a 23-hour and 40-minute break. We'll see you tomorrow around the horn. Good to have you back, Stone. Don't be a stranger.